Our gospel lesson today comes from the 11th chapter of Luke's gospel, the 33rd verse through the 42nd verse. As I read these words, once again, listen for something that's being spoken into your life at this point on your faith journey. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it's not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays. While he was speaking, a Pharisee invited him to dine with him. So he went in and took his place at the table. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So give for alms those things that are within, and see, everything will be cleaned for you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds and neglect justice and the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, let me ask you a question to get us started. Let me ask you this. What do you love? Just think about that. What do you love? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to those gathered with him, "Whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray." In other words, prayer is about authenticity. It's not about show. So in that same spirit, I ask you to consider this. What do you love? When you go into the room of your heart of hearts, and it's just you and no one else, what is it in your life that brings deep-seated satisfaction and meaning? What do you love? Allow me to remind you once again about a practice left to us by the 16th century Jesuit founder, St. Ignatius. It's known as the daily examen. The examen is a daily practice of prayerful introspection that seeks to foster an awareness of how the Spirit of God is moving in and through our lives. Not just when we're in this place, but throughout the daily workings of our lives. It's predicated on the belief that holiness pervades our life. Not just here, but everywhere. And the goal is to become mindful of that pervasiveness. And when we do that, when we're able to merge this belief with our lived experience, we position ourselves for substantive transformation. Okay. We ask questions like this. Where did I see holiness at work in the world today? And you look back across your day. Or maybe you say, you know, how did I extend the touch of grace through my words, through my actions, through my interactions today? What this does is it helps us begin to see the world in a kind of a holistic way. It's not dualistic. It's not sacred over here, profane over there. It is all one. It just is. Friends, we live in sacredness, whether we realize it or not. And as I've said many times before, when we come to realize this, it changes everything. It changes every situation, every relationship, every encounter. The examine. Okay. Several weeks ago, we talked about Father Anthony de Mello, who was a 20th century Jesuit out of the tradition of St. Ignatius. And across his career, Father de Mello wrote many books for folks that were seeking a deep clarity of thought and vision. And one of the books he wrote is entitled Wellsprings, a book of spiritual exercises. And in chapter one of that book, entitled, interestingly enough, The Conclusion, DeMello writes these words. Now listen. I imagine that today I am to die. I asked for time to be alone and write down for my friends a sort of testament for which the points that follow could serve as chapter titles. He then writes 16 brief statements that beg for a conclusion. And back in the summer, I said that I might use these statements to guide us in a sermon series. Well, the time is now. The time is now. But I'm not going to do a 16-week series, just 5 weeks. I'm going to pick five of DeMello's questions and pose them to you. And I encourage you to wrestle with these questions in the coming days, because I think that maybe they will serve as opportunities for us to go deeper into our lives of faith. And that's my hope. Okay, listen to the preface once again. I imagine that today I am to die. I ask for time to be alone and write down for my friends a sort of testament for which the points that follow could serve as chapter titles. The title of chapter one of our life story is this: these things I have loved in my life. Things I tasted, looked at, smelled, heard, touched. What do you love? What do you love? Now, this may sound like a strange question to ask in a sermon. After all, what does it matter what I've loved? How about what I believe? Maybe that's a real question, possibly. Or possibly the question, what do you love, is just another way of getting to what you believe. You know, in the vein of St. James. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. Maybe the things I love will reveal to you the nature of what I believe. Father DeMello's question really is an exercise in immediacy. This is where I am right now. It's called the examine. I ask for time to be alone, write down for my friends a sort of testament. These things I have loved in my life. Things I tasted, looked at, smelled, heard, touched. I've done this exercise with a number of groups over the last 6 months. In some, it was just a kind of a spontaneous sort of spur-of-the-moment listing of those things that people said they loved in their life. And others, we prepared a list beforehand. We wrote it out, and then we shared it. But what has been amazing to me is that every single time a group has pooled their thoughts about love and life, not once have any of the list been filled with material items. It's always been a litany of experiences that somehow allow us to escape the mundanity of our individual lives and tap into some shared experience of the transcendent. The smell of good coffee. Now that was mine. The smell of good coffee. The touch of the ocean breeze. The sound of leaves rustling in the winter woods. The voice of the beloved in our lives. It is interesting that as people share their experiences of love, their eyes get this faraway look in them, as if they're reaching out to touch the very face of God. What do you love? What do you love? It's really an exercise in mysticism, because it's an attempt to reach that which is ineffable. Last month, we gathered a few folks together from each worship service to try to get an idea of how we can improve or maybe enhance the worship experience here at Pleasant Grove. And we got great feedback. And one comment that came up, and I think it came up in all three groups, was that some folks would like to have a place in the bulletin to jot down their thoughts during worship, or, as some said, play tic-tac-toe, or, you know, whatever it is. And if you notice in your bulletin, there's some lines in there today under the heading, "These things I have loved in life." So what I'm saying to you is make a list. Make a list. It's called the examine. A couple of years ago, we had a sermon series in which we wrestled with the ideas and concepts found in Father Richard Rohr's book, Breathing Underwater, spirituality, and the 12 steps. And as you remember, step 4 is this. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory. A fearless inventory. A fearless inventory is like walking in your attic with a flashlight. You have a pretty good idea of what's in there, but then you come across that box. That box you've moved from place to place to place across the years. You never open it. You don't want to go there, but you move it. It goes with you. It's got those big letters written in black magic marker, fragile. All caps, fragile. Now, usually you just slide it aside, move it to the next location, but not in the midst of a fearless moral inventory. No, this time you blow off the dust, you peel back what's left of that yellow tape, and then you open the top and you put your light in there. And the reaction is always the same. Oh, that's what's in there. That's what's in there. Wow, I had forgotten. I still had this old stuff. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. These things I have loved in life. What have you loved? What have you loved? Love. A few minutes ago, we heard the words in the epistle of 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And when Noel led us in the Psalter reading, we read things like, be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. And during our Luke series, you remember the question the young person put to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the answer, of course, is this. You shall love the Lord your God with everything you are and your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Love. There's an ethereal quality, a transcendency, a moral edge to love. What do you love? What do you love? By reflecting on this self-derived list, can we come to a better understanding of ourselves and our faith? I think so. I think so. Father Rohr makes a wonderful observation about inventories. He says, it's not ultimately about highlighting the things that we're doing wrong and then trying to correct it or making a to-do list and knocking it out. That's not what it's about. No, the point of an inventory is to bring some light into the dark places of our lives, because no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar. But on the lampstand, those who enter may see the light. Therefore, consider, question, examine whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light when a lamp gives you light with its rays. If we want to move forward in our spiritual lives, which I think we do, then we need to ask the right questions of our lives. We need to ask questions such as this. What do I love? We need to be candid. We need to be candid with ourselves. And we need to wrestle with the answers that come, because they may not be the ones that we hope for. You know, the more I think about this, the more I believe that this will be a great place to begin a conversation with those that we love, those that we trust. Maybe with your significant other, your spouse, your kids, your closest friends around a table. This week. These things I have loved in my life. Things I tasted, looked at, smelled, heard, touched. So I encourage you this week to make the list. To make the list. Because next week, these beliefs I have outgrown. These beliefs I have outgrown. We'll see you then. Thanks be to God. Amen.